This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
State to state, we got your Nittany Line update. It's a football discussion with Tom and Justin, so kick back and press play.
With former Penn State and NFL defensive back Justin King, I'm Tom Hanifin. This is State of State. This podcast is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. Major League Baseball, golf, the NBA, and NHL playoffs especially. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. State of State is presented by BetOnline. The game starts here. Are you looking for a higher potential return on your savings? Turn to our sponsor, Save. As an SEC-registered investment advisor, Save safely combines the best parts of saving and investing with its market savings program. Market savings is a savings product that provides you with market returns instead of interest. The returns come from diversified investment portfolios based on your individual investment profile. The return from the investments is paid to you at the end of the selected investment term. But investing comes with risk, right? Well, with Save, your deposit is FDIC insured and never used for any investments. The current variable APYs are 9.07% for the one-year product and 7.9% for the five-year product. So what does this cost you? Well, Save only charges a fee when your investments make you money. To learn more or to sign up, visit www.joinsave.com/state. That's joinsave.com/state. The link to the website is in the description of this podcast. State of State invites you to join Save.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to State of State. He's Justin. I'm Tom. We are diving into everything in regards to Penn State's wide receiver room and what appears to be a wide receiver problem as we enter 2024. Not that that's some great revelation necessarily, but especially the names that went into the transfer portal this past week and the players that were on the roster at wide receiver in 2023 versus what we're going to see in 2024. There's been a lot of change. So it's a chance for us to look at the position as a whole on a micro position as well. And then also kind of why is this position devolved a bit over the last few years? We're going to try and break through as much of this as we can. Like, comment, subscribe, turn on notifications and rate us. Follow us on X, Instagram and TikTok at State of State Pod. Just to round out a piece of news, Justin, from last week, because you and I covered the exodus basically that happened Thursday, put it on episode Friday, and then some more information came out Friday that wide receiver Carmelo Taylor is also into the portal, falls into that category of young players like a King Mack, a London Montgomery, that it was too early to really know what their overall potential was going to be. It felt strong. It felt promising. And the guy's off, hopefully for his sake, for greener pastures and trying to get some playing time. So you can understand that. But now it's a chance to look at the guys that were on the roster in 2023 at wide receiver versus what we got right now. And the departures go like this: Keandre Lambert-Smith to Auburn, Malik Mega into the portal, Malik McClain into the portal, Carmelo Taylor, who we just mentioned, Christian Driver, I think people forget about that, the son of Donald Driver, who is off to Minnesota now, Mason Stahl, grad transfer, and Jan Mallard. So last two names, unfortunately, nothing really of consequence in terms of starting wide receivers, but still, that's seven names altogether, and I believe there were 15 scholarship wide receivers at one point, somewhere in that neighborhood. So you've seen some turnover, and it feels like the top five for Penn State are pretty solidified now with Wallace, Fleming, Clifford, Evans, and Saunders. That turnover is expected. That churn is expected, Justin. But it's a matter of missing at this position now for a little while. Now that the dust is kind of settled, the transfer portal is closed and nobody else can jump into the portal. How do you feel about the departures and how do you feel about the room for the remainder of the year?
I mean, before the departures, I think there was a question mark on the room and just the production that they had in general last year, whether it's a new receivers coach, new offensive coordinator, new scheme, all those different things kind of play into like a byproduct position, like wide receiver, where you're looking at, hey, how am I going to get the ball? Where's my position to play? And all these different things that are being shuffled around. So from the starting point, them being a question mark, all the departures, for me, I mean, from a fan, from a talent evaluator, or just looking at the overall situation, just kind of shrug my shoulders. Sometimes there's like a overemphasis placed on certain guys, and you know, got some younger guys coming in, and we can see what happens. And again, the transfer portal and just the way that we accumulate talent for specific positions is just different nowadays. And we've seen impact from first year starters, freshmen that come in from high school. So with those things being said, like a position like receiver, and got a new offensive coordinator that's supposed to be creative and finding matchup situation, favorable matchups, and getting people in space. Yeah, I mean, that's a part of the game. And I if you haven't produced, I just don't really put too much value of you leaving, just honestly.
Well, that's fair. It's all talking about potential and what could be. And if it doesn't get realized in a Penn State uniform, then it doesn't. And it's tough to spend time really thinking about that, worrying about that, lamenting about that in any capacity. I think you bring up a really good point in terms of you went from Yursich and now to Kotelnicki, and it's still the great unknown with Kotelnicki at Penn State. So that churn in terms of the management of the offense, very, very important. And then specifically looking at Marcus Hagans, I believe it's now a year and a half on the job altogether. In any way, do you feel like this is a reflection on him?
A reflection on him? Not so much.
It's his fault. You know what I mean?
I mean, it could be his fault in a positive way, where it's like, hey, these aren't the guys that we need in these positions based on him taking over the position from the previous receivers coach. So there could be a lot of different things where you're kind of reloading talent at that dynamic position, because it's an easy position to evaluate, but it's such a preferential position because there's more than one way to win, right? You can have a guy that has extreme athleticism that doesn't run great routes and he can be successful. You can have a guy that runs great routes and is not the most athletic within a scheme, and he can be valued depending on this offensive coordinator. So there's so many different avenues. And when you think about that and how they recruit, think about a different receivers coach or a different offensive coordinator, that mentality of the receiver or that preference of the receiver, you start to have a little bit of disjointment in the collective of guys, right? Of like, is there anybody that's explosive, or is everybody just fitting into the mold of the preference of that receivers coach that runs these technical sound routes or whatever that might be? So might be opening up space for, you know, some more dynamic playmakers and things of that nature for how they recruit and moving forward, trying to fill those voids that they've seen in the past. So that could be from a receivers coach. And you got Andy Kotelnicki coming in the spring, installing his offense, and he's seeing what the weapons are. And I'm sure I deal with coaches. Like, they know how to send messages to players of like, hey, let's get it moving.
Maybe not as blunt as a Deion Sanders of hop in the portal, pack your bags, but
there's more than one way to be blunt in this business. That's the thing that people need to understand, right? Like all the players go to practice every day. So sometimes mm-hmm. that's the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Overall, for me, seeing the names that have departed and even that late news about Carmelo Taylor just kind of getting added to the pile, I'm not looking at this list and really feeling heartbreak in any way altogether. I'm like, oh yeah, Keandre Lambert-Smith, again, it's like what could have been, flashes potential, and sometimes a change of scenery can do the trick. I think you and I agree that there were things with Keandre that were strictly neck-up issues, and hopefully going to Auburn, those things get corrected for him. Like hoping good things for the individual, that's fine. But still looking at the current wide receiver room, I'm of the mind it's too early for Penn State fans to be like, oh, well, this is Marcus Hagan's fault or anything like that. And even Taylor Stubblefield, the previous wide receiver coach, ousted after a handful of years. And just it feels like since Jahan Dotson left and went into the 2022 NFL draft, there's been a bit of a decline. And it felt like for the entirety of James Franklin's time at Penn State is that it was just an assembly line of number one wide receivers of Godwin, Allen Robinson, KJ Hamler, Jahan Dotson. Parker Washington felt like he was going to be the next one. Nothing against him. He never was that game breaker like all those names I just mentioned and had some injury problems. So he was probably an outstanding number two, and he's somebody who's flourished in the National Football League, not necessarily as a one, but supporting in the ways that he has. So it was just different, but you started to see that decline after Jahan left. Why do you think that has happened? Do you think it's like, the timing of that with, you know, the transfer portal and the NIL becoming major factors, me being the factor?
Well, yeah, and I think, like, again, we talk about the inconsistency of coaches at that position, offensive coordinator turnover, the receiver coach turnover, and how they're acquiring talent. Back then, you think of like who was like Josh Gattis was a receivers coach, or like they used to work with James. So there's kind of an identity of, okay, these are the type of guys that we want to get. This is how it fits in our offense. And sometimes you hit when there's consistency in that talent acquisition funnel. And when it changes and there's different things like coaching turnover, and those coaches have some say in the talent that they acquire and just how it works in college football, not necessarily like the NFL. Or a split, there's some stuff with the personnel and recruiting department that leverage. But when you think about that offensive positions, they get real particular with the offensive coordinators and the QBs of like what's fitting in their position, right? So if they're like a highly system-based place, they do not want a game-breaker type of receiver that's not going to run routes at. Mm-hmm. This is just the framework of a coach. So when you have those different things, you start collecting talent that's not necessarily cohesive amongst a plan, because the plan is necessarily changing as the coordinator's changing. So I think that's what we're seeing right now from a lack of production from the outside receivers. And just from a talent standpoint, from a similarity standpoint across the board. And, you know, and I think there's still room to grow. And I think time will tell.
Do you think that perception of going to Penn State as a wide receiver has changed for high school players in the last few years?
I don't think so. I think Penn State has done a poor job branding the receivers. Like all those receivers that you just named, like Chris Godwin, Jahan Dotson, KJ Hamler, like there's not a brand around the receivers, right? Like, you know, linebacker you because mm-hmm. LeVar and all these guys, different guys there. And a lot of players benefited off of that name that weren't as good, and they're just a part of linebacker you. And it attracts players like a Michael Parsons that's like, hey, I want to be a part of that thing. So like when you have a branded position, like I'm trying to do with, you know, lockdown you start attracting players and you start seeing what's going out. So when you think of a receiver group, crossover and identity, crossover and philosophy that's coming from that position and acquiring talent, there's success there, but it's all the way through. You started off with Allen Robinson. He was with Bill O'Brien. So like, I don't know if does James, do they continue inherited. To promote? Yeah, yeah. Do they continue to promote Allen Robinson as like a big time receiver that comes through and like what's going on from a receiver standpoint? Like, yo, is Penn State a place where I can go shine? And if you look at the evidence based on the receivers that you named from 2015 to 2020, yeah. And like, so the last 4 years, you can kind of toss it up. I mean, Jahan's the 2021, but, mm-hmm. you know, even a funny story from him.
You're very right in the way you're addressing it. And if anything, like, I'm thinking, if I'm a high school recruit, top destinations are Ohio State and LSU, because it's like they just churn out wide receiver talent. I don't know if Penn State has that same branding and identity at this point. If you're a tight end, going to Penn State makes a ton of sense. And that's something James Franklin wants. He's put that out there for a long time. He wants to collect tight ends. He wants physical mismatches.
But why do you say that, right? Because I could think of KJ Hamler was a second round draft pick. Jahan Dotson was a first round draft pick and had a great rookie season. Allen Robinson was a first round draft pick. So there's two first round draft picks in the past 5 years from that position versus the tight end position. You got Gesicki, and that's kind of it. Versus, like, yeah, I mean, the guys that are playing now in the league, they're doing well, but they weren't super high draft picks.
True.
You know what I mean? Good point. So to that point, to that end, it's like, so where does it fit in? Like, because, like, it's again the identity of, like, the fans. Okay, the Kyle Brady's, we can identify the tight end position. We think of receivers. Like, even back to when I played there, like, they didn't even talk about Joe Jarvisius or Brian Johnson. Like, these guys were like first round picks that were receivers. Respect
their freaking names.
Put some respect on their name, but we talked the running backs, right? So, like, even when we think about the long boys and how these positions are, like, promoted and branded, it attracts players. Like, when I was coming out as a corner, I was like, I want to play on that defense because it was a top right defense. You know what I mean? So that's why I think branding, when it comes to talent acquisition, is huge. So when you talk about Lockdown U and all this stuff, it's a rhyme and reason to why we do things, right? So that's why I think the acquisition hasn't been there. I think they've done a poor job of showing the development and the success of receivers that have gone through Penn State over the years, because something to be been good.
State of State is a proud supporter of Blue White Outfitters. Blue White Outfitters was created as a retail shop meant to highlight the confidence, competitiveness, and fearlessness of the elite athletes found throughout the history of Penn State University. Check out their Lockdown U and Lawn Boys merchandise today. All sales from Blue White Outfitters directly benefit Penn State student athletes. Visit www.bluewhiteoutfitters.com today.
Great. That's the head scratch about the situation we're in now. Is the room doesn't feel great. It could be very good, but it remains to be seen. Looking at Trey Wallace individually, it seems like the feeling coming out of the program is he's the number one wide receiver. When you've watched his game over the years, what are elements of his game that you like and think that separate him from the rest of the pack right now?
I mean, his catch radius, his ability to win the one-on-one matchup, I think, is the immediate thing that separates him from the rest of the guys. But, I mean, again, he hasn't had the production that just kind of crown him from that standpoint, so I'm still in the wait and see with him as well. So he has the skills, and that's the thing about receivers and, again, all these different type of things. It can look pretty until get out there and produce and beat the one-on-one matchup, put up some numbers, and go from that standpoint. So I don't know. I'm kind of talking from hard on receivers because there's so many of them. And it's like, they're the special ones. You find them, you cherish them. Like, I remember, like, recruiting Jahan Dotson. He was committed to UCLA for Chip Kelly first, and he let him go. Right. And so it's like, he wasn't like a highly touted receiver, but the way that he moves was very unique. He was explosive. He was smooth. He had catch rate. I remember him even questioning if he could play at Penn State at one point, and to the fact that, like, see where that progressed and where he became, it's just a dynamic position that where you have to really nail it at that talent acquisition standpoint, and finding dynamic playmakers is the key.
Trey has a real big opportunity this year. And the same thing with Julian Fleming. If anything, Justin, I look at this from an outsider perspective, thinking this is Fleming's make it or break it season. And the fact that everything we've heard so far is like, okay, it's like, it's positive. He's a leader, you know, he has experience, all those sorts of things, but just there was such an assumption he was going to walk in the door and be the number one wide receiver. And that's not the consensus at this point in time in May.
Yeah. He's the fifth, 6 year guy. You better show and prove this year.
Time to do it. Right.
I mean, the clock's out, like, literally and figuratively, but with that being said, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I'm not a fan of fans or people leading with character evals of players. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't want to hear about, you know,
it's like saying, oh, do you like this car? It's like, well, the paint job's really nice. It's like, yeah, but it's missing an engine. Like, yeah,
it's getting good.
I'm not saying that's the situation with Julian Fleming. I'm just saying it's like, oh, but tell me about the athlete. Tell me about the player on the field. That's I think the thing that's concerning is you constantly hear these intangible qualities, which are good and they're important, but it's like, okay, how's he doing with the route tree? How is he doing with the playbook? Is he getting along with quarterbacks just fine? How is that, you know, how does he do with targets to catches? Like, a lot of big questions that haven't been answered.
Well, time will tell again with that. But I mean, I guess when you're thinking about the fit with the transfer portal, I think that's where everyone's going to. It's like, oh, how does he fit in with the team? But yeah, you're right. It's not like a, you know, when you hear about the DBs, like you ask, like, how's like AC, the corner door? It's like, oh, he's dominant. It's this. Like you can hear the contrast in different guys, but we'll see. But with that being said, I don't know if they screamed anybody's praises from the receivers room. Back to the point of guys jumping into the transfer portal, the offense picking up, got a new offensive coordinator. So, I mean, they're still a work in progress over there. So I don't put too much weight on that, but it is what it is.
Of Wallace, Fleming, Clifford, Evans, and Saunders, assuming those are the top five, right? Which of those five do you feel the most comfortable with?
I mean, maybe Wallace. But that's like a pulling, like that's closing my eyes and pulling my name out of that. Like, I don't have anything to base that off of.
For me, and I'm curious what you think about this, is Liam Clifford. We saw some flashes of it in September in 2023, and the offense kind of got away from him. You could feel that internal struggle between what James Franklin wanted, what Mike Yurcich was doing, the rest of the staff having input. And you could probably go back and watching the tape. It was like you could see how there were changes that maybe Yurcich didn't want to make and ultimately led to his ousting. And now you have Andy Kotelnicki. So it was like, oh, you're leaning on the tight ends more. You're getting the running backs more involved. So you see the wide receiver game kind of dissipate a little bit. And for me, Liam Clifford can be that slot wide receiver who's just Mr. Reliable. And if anything, I'm like, oh, in terms of guys where I just don't feel worried, like he's going to be a detriment being on the field, Clifford feels very safe. And I don't mean that in a negative way. He just feels safe, as where Trey, there's injury concerns. Fleming, it's the unknown. Omari, it's the flash and then disappearance. And Caden Saunders, the jury's still kind of out. We saw some flashes in the blue-white game, but that's been kind of the talk about him for a few years. Is like, okay, when's it all coming together?
Well, I'll tell you this. From a DB's perspective, if anybody describes a receiver that I'm playing against as safe, I would love it. So there's your answer to that. I mean, if you think he's safe as a DB, I would love for anybody to describe a receiver as safe. Yeah, let me get that safe receiver, that safe slot receiver. From a nickel, yeah, 100%. So from that standpoint, I don't know. I mean, that's cool. So that's the problem. I think we need to look for some dangerous receivers.
Right. You know, I see what you're saying. And this is going to get completely misconstrued in regards to, I'm trying to compliment Liam Clifford that I think he's very competent. I think he's reliable.
Well, I mean, when we played teams last year, we had an opportunity to beat one-on-one matchups. And like, I don't know, they haven't shown that to be able to do that. So when we play teams that want to play, man, we got to get out that safe category. But that's just me.
I will be removing that from my lexicon going forward when talking about any football player ever. As we're wrapping up here, final thoughts on the wide receiver position, considering this exodus just happened. It seems like more of a PR hit than an actual X's and O's hit.
That's probably what it is. I mean, because again, if the base level is a question mark from production from the group, I mean, it looks like we're trying to wait. Let's see if it's going to be upgraded, because I don't think it can be downgraded.
Tell us what you think. Hop in the comments section. Get at us on social media at State of State Pod, X, Instagram, and TikTok. Like, comment, subscribe, rate us, and turn on notifications. Thank you all so much for joining us. We're going to keep an eye on this wide receiver position because we got plenty of time until August.
Thank you all so much for joining us. This episode and our entire library of shows is available now on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Also, let us know what you think of the show on social media and check out all of our content on X, Instagram, and TikTok. Search for the handle @StateOfStatePod. State of State is presented by Bet Online and by Blue White Outfitters.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting smart home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today, in-store and on Menards.com. Save.